Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 15th of October, 2014. It's, what is it? It is 7:18 a.m. I've been walking for 17:06 minutes. 17 minutes and 6 seconds. First mile. Moving along. I'm trying to get through this quickly today. I've got the rest of the day is probably going to be tied up, or at least the morning anyway. It's going to be tied up. My wife has to do some medical procedures this morning and requires a driver and standby. So, yeah, I've got to go hang out in the hospital with her for a while. The outpatient surgical center. Routine checkup stuff. When you get old, you'll have to do this too. So today's status, keeping myself honest, keeping the ferrets moving in the right direction, I hope. Yesterday was, I got the files uploaded, and the problem I had, let's see, is this actually still recording? The problem I had was that The file for the cover didn't render properly when I exported it to PDF. Apparently it hung and didn't render the whole cover, which was not obvious because all you see is a little PDF icon and not the actual photograph thumbnail, at least the way I had my machine configured. So I didn't see it, and Amazon got back to me overnight and said, sorry, cover's wrong. And I looked at it and knew it was. So I got a bit of a delay. I'm leaving this as Tuesday for a due date, because it was due on Tuesday. And I'm just having to wait out checking it off. It's an overdue task at this point. Future tasks. I've had to rearrange my calendar. I did a little work on the files for the file for South Coast, and something over an hour for the first chapter to examine and check out all of the file edits, and it was a mess. It's really a good edit, which means it's going to take me a lot longer than just a couple of days to breeze through this thing and accept or reject changes. So I've moved that off to the end of the month to get it out of the way of all of the galley-proof tasks that I want to get done. And I've delayed the book that's due tomorrow till Friday. That'll be owner's share in galley form. And that gives me a little bit of spillover into the weekend if I need it. Shouldn't need it, it should be okay. I do have some changes to incorporate into the ebook file before I can merge it and then generate the LaTeX file. I've been calling it LaTeX, and apparently LaTeX is acceptable, but it's not terribly technic. It's not the approved pronunciation because the letters are actually the anglicized versions of the Greek letters tau, epsilon, chi. And so the T-E-X is allegedly pronounced tech. Or some variation of at the end. So latex. Anyway, I'm gonna call it latex, I don't care. Looks like latex to me, it's good enough. Anyway, so I have to get the changes into the ebook format and then merge the individual chapters into one file so that I have one HTML file that has all of the corrected content in it. Then I move it over to my Linux machine and massage it into tekst, because I can import the tekst file directly into Linux, which probably by the same rationale should probably be pronounced Lich, like the dead thing, the Licht King. Anyway, so I'm making progress. I'm doing the thing. It's still keeping me engaged. It's still keeping me focused. I didn't get as much work done yesterday as I'd hoped because it took so much of the day to deal with the graphic file in the morning, first thing, and then working on the South Coast edits for what was left of the workday. And so I have to adjust my schedule, and that's legit. Adjusting the schedule is not ignoring the schedule. Adjusting the schedule is recognizing it. Yeah, I was a little optimistic here. I knew yesterday that I was going to have to make some adjustments just because I realized that, no, that's not going to happen. And then when I got looking at the file, I realized why it wasn't going to happen. Took the steps I needed. I still have to make my reservations for Mile High. I'm on the program. I've got a badge down there and everything. I just don't have a hotel room yet. And it's like next Friday. So yeah, I've got to get that going. Maybe I'll do that today. I haven't created a task for it, so it doesn't get my focus. Unless I'm wandering around someplace where I don't really have the phone number to call the hotel to talk to them about getting a room. So. Somebody's doing something this morning. It smells like dry cleaning. So, John Ward has been after me to talk about influence on the writer's discussion group, and I don't really know what to say. The issue is that there are people who have many tens of thousands of followers and yet have no influence. So, what they say, for example, on Google Plus, and they'll link to their blog, and nobody takes the link. They just read what's on the Google Plus and keep moving. And it got me thinking. And John's take on this is that there was a comment made about how much influence I have with my readers. And John's take on it was, I don't ask readers to do things. I tempt them with things that they might like. And I think that's a good... I think that's a good assessment, because I very seldom, I mean, the most I will ask is that, you know, we'll grab a sample, see if you like it. When I make a book recommendation or something, yeah, grab a sample, see if you like it. Oh, speaking of samples, holy crap. So yeah, I've been thinking about, I'll come back to samples in a minute. So, the idea that I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, the difference between interaction and engagement, I think is the crux. I think that's the core of it. That relying, that was the monk post, relying on interaction as an indirect measure, a surrogate for engagement, creates a situation where you think you have engagement because you have a lot of interaction, but the interaction is all on the surface. It's all surface level. It's all people who retreat without comment, who share without adding anything to the post, who a link dump. And that's because that level of interaction is so easy. It is for many people, and for most of the time, it is quite literally mindless. There is no mind involved. It's like, oh, here's something from Bob, I'll retweet it, or here's a post from Fred, let me share it. Here's a status update from Mary, let me like it, because I like everything Mary does, and I share everything Fred does, and I retweet everything Bob says. And there's no engagement there, it's just interaction. Which is why counting it as a surrogate, counting it as an indirect measure of engagement is a problem. Engagement is required to foster influence. Now, my influence over my audience, you guys, is limited to the degree to which you're interested in what I'm saying and engage in it because you are interested, or interested in me, or the fascination of seeing what a full-time author does or doesn't. So influence is different. Influence requires a cognitive interaction, a cognitive engagement, rather. You have to think about it in a way that fosters recall, that triggers new ideas and new thoughts. And my goal in talking about this stuff is to do exactly that, to trigger new ideas, to foster new thoughts, to foster true engagement. Because engagement is the first level of influence. If you're not engaged, in marketing speaking, you're not aware. So it's a problem. That's the problem. That's the issue with using engagement and interaction as a proxy for engagement. They're not the same. From a technical perspective, I realize that people use them as the same thing all the time. And from a technical perspective, from the actual cognitive theory, cognitive structure perspective, interaction is not engagement. And it doesn't help that a lot in the education community, a lot of people in the education community think that they do mean the same thing. Garbage truck. They do seem to be the same thing, but they're not. They're not even close. You do have to have sort of, I don't say they're not close, they are related. You can't really have engagement without interaction. You can have interaction without engagement. I guess that's the way to think about it. Interaction is a causal prerequisite to engagement, because if you don't interact, then you're not putting yourself in a position where you can engage. So you have to have the base level. It's a necessary but not sufficient condition. So back to samples. Today's Wednesday, and I'm supposed to put a recommendation up for Indie Space Opera today, and I don't have one because I haven't been reading Indie Space Opera. For last week, I read the ADD handbook. Not a handbook. It's Hollowell's Driven to Distraction, which is quite a quite an enlightening read, but also kept my brain from getting too far down the road. Ouch. Oh, that's why he wears a hard hat. That guy driving a stake into the ground here. One of those pile-driving hammer things. Pulled it off and top of it slopped back onto the top of his head with a clank. He's wearing a hard hat, which is a good thing. But yesterday I started reading Steve Turnbull's Malia Mysteries, steampunk space opera. So far, all we've got is airships, but there's a geosynchronous platform tethered above Ceylon, which would be the logical place for it. And he promises that we'll be getting into steam-driven spaceships in later books. There is their shorts, their novellas, their serials, but he pointed out to me the other day that he has the compilation, the first three books of the Malia Mysteries in a compendium edition. And I picked up a sample, because I always sample, and I bought the book because it is really cool. It is really cool. It's very well done in terms of the steampunkery. It's the platform, it's not the focus. He does the thing that I like about really good steampunk, which is it's the platform, it's the backdrop, it's the stage on which the story plays out. It's not the story. A lot of what I'm reading these days in the steampunk is the focus on the gadgets and not really so much on how the gadgets make the society the way it is, or how the people relate given the gadgets. So it's a breath of fresh air for me. It's wonderful. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. So Steve Turnbull, he's a British author, and so he has that whole British aesthetic down because he's British. It's a second nature to him. It's sort of like me trying to write something from New England. Works. Fisherman stories, because I was. Good morning. Good morning. And good morning to you too. Oh, and here's a little straggler coming along behind. Good morning, sir. But it is that time, and I have to get in the house because I've got to pack up the wife and get her ready to go. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow, tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.